Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, May 24th. Paonia celebrated the 4th Annual Western Slope Solar Fair and Permaculture Expo last Saturday. From KDNK in Carbondale, Raleigh Burley spoke with Pete Kolbenschlag, the event's founder, about the region's evolving economy.
The North Fork Valley has always been an energy and agricultural dependent community. Those have been the twin driving forces of our economy for over 100 years. And looking forward, there's a lot of folks here, myself included, who think that that can continue to be our example to the world, is the way we do agriculture and energy in this valley. And so obviously there's a lot of problems with dirty energy that's causing climate change and climate disruptions. And so if we look to the future, we can still be an energy and agricultural dependent and driven economy. We just want to show that we can model it for the future, for what we need to do, and that is moving towards renewable energies and moving towards agricultural systems that actually put value and put quality back into the soil, into the ecosystem that it's working with. Energy and agriculture, that's what has always driven this community. We're just talking about moving it into the future because we can all see where the trends are going.
North Fork Valley Community Rights Advocates has drafted a Community Bill of Rights for Paonia. KDNK's Raleigh Burley spoke with the organization's board chair, Lisa Nierman, at the 4th Annual Solar Fair and Permaculture Expo this past weekend.
We are being mentored by an organization called the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, CELDEF. They are based in Pennsylvania, and they've worked with somewhere around 200 communities across the United States to help them craft each their own unique bills of rights. And what these bills of rights do is empower the communities to define what is important to them in their communities and to help them protect those things that are important and also to defend themselves.
What, in your experience, has made this necessary here in Paonia?
In our experience here in our valley, we have fracking that is happening up in our watershed right now, and more is about to happen. So that has spurred us to try to take a different tack towards protecting ourselves, because we've talked to our county commissioners, we've talked with our senators, our representatives, and it really doesn't matter what we say. The corporation's rights, so-called rights, supersede our human rights, and they're allowed to just go in and do it. So this was a way that we thought we could possibly stave off that onslaught.
And so what sort of things are included within this Community Bill of Rights?
Our Community Bill of Rights talks about our right to self-government. It also talks about the right to a healthy climate, the right to clean air, water, and soil. We feel those are inalienable rights. You're born with them, and they should not be taken away. The rights of ecosystems and natural communities to exist and flourish, and the right to protection from governmental and corporate interference. You know, our regulatory structures don't stop the harm. They just tell you how much you can be harmed and where that can go, but it doesn't stop it, and we want to stop it.
And so how far along is this process? What's the next step to getting this Bill of Rights passed?
Well, the next step is to really try to educate the community about it and get them behind us. Here in the valley, there are a lot of people that are very pro-oil and gas and coal miners that have been here for 100 plus years. So the next step would be to try to bring all of these different perspectives together to speak as one voice and bring it to the Paonia Town Council and hope that they will pass it as an ordinance.
Thank you very much, Lisa. I appreciate it.
U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis delivered remarks yesterday at the Air Force Academy graduation. Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KRCC was there. Andrea Chalfin had this report from Colorado Springs.
The nearly 1,000 graduating cadets listened as Mattis invoked Air Force history, including the Tuskegee Airman Doolittle Raiders and his own faith in the Air Force while serving as a Marine in Afghanistan. Mattis told the graduates that their primary weapon system now is their attitude, calling on rigor and vigor to inspire others.
In the department, we remain undistracted in our pursuit of military superiority, for America has no ordained right to victory on the battlefield. It is now your responsibility to ensure our adversaries know they should always prefer to talk to our Department of State rather than face the U.S. Air Force.
Among the graduates, more than 400 will go on to pilot training. More than a dozen graduates come from other countries, including Korea, Malaysia, and the United Arab Emirates. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin.
Colorado is one of the country's leaders in job production. Unemployment is lower here than in most other states. The nation is making progress toward full employment, according to recent data, but not because of the so-called gig economy. Eric Galatis has more.
A new report from the Economic Policy Institute shows the impact of tech companies such as Uber has been overrated. Lawrence Mitchell with the Institute says widely publicized hourly earnings for Uber drivers frequently leave out expenses the independent contractors have to cover, including more than 30% in fees the company takes off the top, health insurance premiums, and significant wear and tear on their vehicles.
And have to pay extra taxes for Social Security and Medicare that regular workers don't. Then it turns out they get paid around $9.21 an hour. And that's in spite of the fact that half the Uber drivers actually have a college degree.
Uber drivers generate nearly $25 an hour in passenger fares, but Mitchell says the company takes more than $8 of that up front in fees. The standard mileage expense for gas and maintenance dings drivers for another $5 an hour, and after taxes and a bare-bones benefits package, drivers walk away with just over $9 an hour. Mitchell notes that's significantly lower than the $32 an hour on average that private sector workers get, and it's also well below the $15 an hour earned by service occupation workers. A spokesperson for Uber said the report ignores the flexibility drivers say they value and cannot find in traditional jobs. I'm Eric Galatis.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.